Open our hearts, O God, enlighten our minds and kindle our spirit, that we may receive and transmit the gift of your love. In Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
I begin with a confession. I confess to watching too much news out of Washington and the White House in these last several months. The daily high drama, the Twitters, often unbelievable characters, all so intriguing and, in fact, addictive, at least it is for me. A year ago, we stopped taking the daily newspaper, and I subscribed online to the Washington Post, and so every morning I read it first to find the latest outrages and headlines. I think if I had another life, I would become a political operative, one of the backroom boys who plot and scheme to make things happen. Not that I ever want to work in today's White House, though. Once a long time ago, I was intrigued by a course offered at the university entitled Politics and Personality. I thought about signing up and I went to see the professor, but when I told him that I was at seminary, he became really excited about the possibility of me looking into politics and personality in the life of the church. Rather naively, I thought, there are no politics in the church. What's he thinking about? God reigns, the Spirit guides, and that's it. I guess, on reflection, I did end up as one of the backroom operatives and learned so much about the reality of politics in the church. All of this comes to mind as I read the last two verses of today's gospel. We have in the reading this series of well-known parables, the mustard seed, the yeast and the flour, the fine pearls, and the net and the fish. The last two verses, though, seem detached somehow. As Jesus said, have you understood all of this? And they, likely referring to the disciples, respond, yes. Earlier in the chapter, in a couple of other parables, the disciples come to Jesus and asked him to explain, and he gives details, a detailed explanation of the parable, almost a line-by-line interpretation. This time, it's different. They get it. They say, yes, we understand. So then, perhaps as a compliment, he says to them, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Now, we usually hear bad things about scribes in the scriptures. They're linked with the Pharisees, and we read, the scribes and the Pharisees, the enemies of Jesus, the ones who are plotting against him to bring him down. But in this case, the reference seems to be to a more generic scribe, one who writes things down, such as, for instance, Matthew. There are references in the Old Testament to scribes, like Baruch, the friend, companion, and scribe for Jeremiah, or Ezra, described as skilled in the law of Moses. In this tradition, the scribe was more than just a stenographer. A scribe was also a scholar tasked with interpreting scripture and teaching. So in this sense, as Jesus talks to the disciples and the followers, he may be assigning to them this task of interpreting and teaching. So, referring to the role of the scribe, he sets this tiny parable in the last verse of the series of small parables. The scribe is like the master who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. For the scribe and teacher, as teacher and as interpreter of Scripture, the message is clear. Pay attention to the old, but balance that by also giving place to the new. Honor tradition, but have room for innovation. This is a real challenge, finding the delicate balance between the old and the new. What a challenge it is for those political operatives and campaign strategists. They must pay attention to the tried and true policies and practices of their party, while at the same time exhibiting a dynamic and attractive element of new thinking. One can go overboard in either way and be labeled as stodgy and dull or radical and irrelevant, and likely lose the election, although the recent American experience might cast some doubt on that wisdom. Jesus himself might be the best example of one who brings out the old and the new in creative and dramatic ways. Jesus was deeply rooted in the scripture of his day. Often he would say, "As it is written." And he said he came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. He stood in the long line of interpreters of Scripture, the long line of prophets, and although he had harsh words to say about the Pharisees and the other temple rulers, his criticism was rooted in the standards of the law, the Torah of Moses. But Jesus brought the new as well. In fact, radical newness in reinterpreting the old law, bringing new life to it, new ideas, a new model of community where the principle of love dominates. God asks Solomon, who is just beginning his reign following the death of his father David, God asks what he wants. What gift might God give him? Solomon, known throughout the centuries as a wise ruler, asks for an understanding mind, able to discern between good and evil. And then God gives him a wise and discerning mind. A wise and discerning mind is needed to find the fine balance, not between just good and evil, but also between the old and the new. Church music, for example. A new incumbent quickly learns about church politics when it comes to choosing hymns and music. Are they all old? Are they all new? How are decisions made? The factions are alive and well in many places. Not here, of course, as we've worked out that fine balance, I think, quite well. Or consider this problem. Our elderly have a right to adequate care, whether in a long-term care facility or at home, and agencies are mandated by the authorities to provide that care. Those same agencies are governed by the human rights legislation in the province. So what happens when a client refuses the services of a person of color? Here is a person in need, entitled to care, and an agency responsible and mandated to provide that care, but also prohibited from making decisions that discriminate on the basis of race among their employees. Here is the place for a wise and discerning mind. Some may say that it's simply a matter of law, cold, hard, impersonal law. Others may say that compassion should govern decisions. Here is a place for finding that fine balance. This week, I was interviewed by a researcher, a PhD student, who's studying the ways in which gay and lesbian elders are finding life in our long-term care facilities. No conclusions yet, but there's ample evidence of many feeling uncomfortable, some feeling the reality, experiencing the reality of homophobia, some feeling the need to return to the closet after a full life outside it. That homophobia may be direct and hurtful, or subtle and very uncomfortable. Does the institution have the wise and discerning mind to care for all its residents? One thing came to mind as I thought through these things, an old saying, "You can't teach an old dog new tricks." Well, yes, you can. So pay attention, old dogs out there. We're not in good shape if we give up on the elderly, excusing them in these situations of racism or homophobia. We are shortchanging them. We all need to be challenged by this saying of Jesus, this small parable of finding the balance between the old and the new. Old ways need to be challenged, room made for new ways. The disciples respond to Jesus and say that they understand. Do we understand? Are we aware of God's given gift of a wise and discerning mind? God's gift not just to Solomon, but to each one of us as we work away day by day in discerning for ourselves that balance between the old and the new. Every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old.